Hello and welcome to the Sport for Business podcast. I'm your host, Rob Hartnett, and in today's 69th episode of the show, we are joined by the race director of the Irish Life Dublin Marathon, Jim Ockney. We chat about the reasons why he is still excited about the race in his fourth decade of managing it, the things that wake him up in the middle of the night, and the importance of the agreement with Dublin City Council to keep the race at the very heart of the city centre. Irish Life won the Best of Europe Sponsorship Award for this event last year, and we talk as well about that and the importance of partnerships. You can find out more about what we do day in, day out at sportforbusiness.com. Twice daily bulletins and twice weekly podcasts, as well as great events to bring the Sport for Business community together in person, including a major event on children and sport coming up on May 17th. For now though, let's get down to the chat with Jim. Having the route running in and around the city centre is something that was considered to be very important, and there was a question mark because of the complexity of running a city that might not happen. So this is a big win today to actually have it. So it's going to be starting on Leeson Street and finishing on Mount Street.
Oh, a very big win for us. And again, when we opened the discussions with Dublin City Council post last year's event, they were very supportive of that and trying to come to an understanding as to where we could start and finish. So we had a number of different options, and we're delighted that the final one was one that, you know, gives us a win, gives the city a win, because the runners are still coming in to the city to stay prior to the event and stay the night of the event and so on and so forth. And the traffic gets a win out of it as well. So I think it's a win for all three of us as regards that, and it's something that we'd like to hold on to for as long as we can. But again, you know, Dublin City Council were very supportive of us being back in the city, and that was a big plus for us to be going in and knowing that, you know, they wanted us back in the city. So yes, it was a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, my days of running marathons, if they ever existed, are a bit behind me now. But I was in town last year for in and around Merrion Square, and that where it finished. And the buzz and the atmosphere and the sort of sense of occasion was really striking. Like, it's the fifth biggest marathon now in Europe to run in cities. Is that right?
It is indeed, yes. And we've held the 22,500 for this year's event. You know, we'll learn something new, I expect, from the new start and finish. We'll crunch the numbers after 2024 and see if there's any way we can extend that, or maybe somebody can build a first floor on Merrion Square and we can bring in more runners into it. But yes, you know, we've introduced a number of ideas over the years to try and build the numbers up, like the inclusion of the waves. Instead of having 20,000 people all starting at once, break them up into four waves, and that has helped us increase the numbers. There are a number of other techniques obviously we can use if we get permission, then, or we feel we can accommodate them after this year's event. So we'll be looking at all of that post this year's event and see if there's a case to be made that we can add more runners to it. The runners are there and want to run. It's just a matter of, you know, it's a cap that we've put on it ourselves, that we feel we can safely deliver that with the number of people coming into Merrion Square and getting them out of Merrion Square afterwards. So we'll see, will the new configuration help that? And hopefully, you know, we could be in a position to increase numbers in the future, but that's something we'll look at.
I think the number of actual competitors was down a little bit last year, and that's an issue with marathons across the world, that people who've registered, but then, you know, there will always be a number of injuries in that. But is there a way, because you've always got a wait list, you've always got people that are anxious to run but can't get a starting spot, and then you end up that you might have spots on the day. What's the latest that you can actually go up to run reserve?
Again, the survey that we released post the event, people wanted the refund window and the transfer window moved closer to the event, Now, there's obviously a limit to how close you can move it, but we've moved those a month later this year, so that, you know, if you do get injured, and again, that was part of the survey asking, you know, the people that didn't run, why did you not run? And the vast majority of those were because they got injured. Yeah. So when the injury hit them, our refund and transfer window had closed. So by moving that a month later, we're hoping that we'll catch a lot more of those and get them into the, to be able to run in the event. So it's post this year's event, we'll sit down and see what impact that had, and hopefully it'll be a positive one, that we'll have more runners on the start line than we had for 2023, and see, conduct the survey again, and then see if there's any other changes we can make, or people recommended we can make to the event, and see if there's anything logistical wise. There's obviously a time limit on how far we can push the transfer window. We need to send out the wave allocations early September, so we've pushed the transfer as late as we can, and maybe, as I say, looking at the data from 2024 and 2023, we can see, is there a trend there, or can we improve that further for 2025?
Okay, what's the breakdown been like? Has there been a shift in terms of gender participation, the number of wheelchair participants as well? What's the breakdown of the runners that you expect to be on the start line?
Wheelchair participation has always been quite low. Again, you know, we had four last year, and again, it's four or five that we've had. We're opening a program with Dublin City Council Sports Partnership, and we're asking them to see if they can get a wheelchair participant to add to that. But it's one of the things, you know, we'd like to see more of. The initiative that we had last year to get more females into the event worked very well. That's up 5 percentage points on what it was last year. So there's it's not a 50-50 split as it is in shorter races, but it certainly is heading in the right direction. So again, we'll look at that after this year and see if there's anything else we can do to add and improve that. What we're seeing is that charity runners are coming in more of a 50-50 split than ballot entries in the event. So maybe there's an opportunity to encourage more charity runners into it to get the gender balance.
Okay.
Right. But we look at all of that post the event and see what we can do. But yes, the initiative we used last year has had a positive impact, and it's good to see that, you know.
So the women runners tend to be the more caring variety. Who could have guessed?
There you go.
Irish Life, as sponsors, were celebrating this year. They won the Best Sponsorship in Europe Award at the ESSER Awards, which was a great recognition of a campaign which really did deliver in so many ways for the brand, but I'm guessing also for the event as well. Again, what I was saying about the look and the feel and the sense of occasion around it was definitely helped by having that sort of big brand on there. What are they like to work with?
Again, Irish Life brought, when you bring somebody in new, they always have new ideas, which is great. Like, I've probably been around this too long at this stage that you get set in your ways or whatever. So anybody that new comes in, it's great. They have new ideas, and they brought colour to the event, as you say. And that has a knock-on effect, because you're standing there around the finish line, and you get involved in the buzz. And like, what we've seen is that, you know, people say, oh, gee, I'd love to do that next year. So it's selling itself by people being out on the street watching it. And that's the impact a big sponsor has for an event, you know, the colour, the atmosphere and all of that. So that helps, obviously helps. It helps bring people out to support the runners. They still have to run 26.2 miles, but if there's support at every corner, it makes the journey feel shorter. Obviously, it doesn't make it any shorter, but it helps them. So it has a positive impact for the runners, and they feel good about it then when they're finished, that they've had a great experience in Dublin and they want to come back or to tell their friends and so on and so forth. So it certainly has a big impact, you know, for that. And we've seen, you know, we had 31,000 people in the lottery looking for essentially 11,000 places in the end, because we had already pre-allocated 12,000 on the priority codes. Mm. So, like, there you have about 40,000 people looking for 22,000 places. So the demand is there and has grown considerably.
It is a city marathon, and but there's also a big tourism element to it as well. And marathons around the world, I think Boston is on next week, and that always attracts a big overseas audience as well. Yeah. What are the numbers like that you're bringing into the city from outside of Dublin and outside of Ireland?
Yeah, I mean, we have just under 5,000 people coming from overseas. And again, what we see there is, if you look at people coming from the UK, and obviously the majority of that, they'd have 1.5, as they say, where you get the half person from, I don't know, but per runner, you know, coming with them. Yeah. But the further afield you go, the more supporters come with them. And you people from the States, and you have, you know, 5 and 6 coming with them. It's a lifetime trip probably for the family and so on and so forth. So like you'd have 400 coming from America, runners, but you could have, you know, certainly double that or maybe even triple that actually coming to Dublin for the weekend. So it has a huge impact. And the beauty of Dublin holding the start and finish where we are is, if you get a city centre hotel, you're right beside the start, you're right beside the RDS to pick up your number, and you're right beside the finish. You can walk from the finish back to your hotel.
Yeah.
Like other events, like you could finish miles away from your hotel and how you get back or whatever. Now, everybody likes big city events for whatever reason, but that's one of the real attractions of holding it in the city centre. And to be able to do that, you know, you make the logistics for people a lot easier. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, Dublin is an attractive place to come and run.
You mentioned the fact that you've been at this for a while, at this for maybe a few years now. Is it still the same level of buzz and excitement for you? You know, sort of not necessarily the planning of it, but when you wake up on the morning of the marathon, is there a sense that you just leap out of bed with excitement about what's to come?
Well, not in the morning, you don't dream out of bed with excitement. I mean, one of the things that gives you great satisfaction is when you're actually standing on the start line and you look down at the sea of heads looking back at you when we're singing the national anthem or whatever. You say, well, listen, you know, we've had, or I've had a small input at least anyway in getting people to that start line. And you think the benefits to them and to the health system and everything else that leads into all of that, for people being out running and training, and then the number that get to the start line, fit and healthy and so on and so forth. You know, you're having an impact on people's lives, and that is something to be proud of when you look back at the number of people, the faces that are looking back at you. And also, yeah, you have to take the moment of pride in that.
Does it make up for those moments when you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning thinking, oh God?
No, there's too many of those.
But it's worth it in the end.
Yes.
Just a quick one. Irish Life obviously are the headline partner, but you've got other brands involved in it as well. Enterprise rental of cars, you've got FM 104, you've got the, you know, Dublin and Fingal local city councils involved in it as well. Octavo. Is there still space if a brand wanted to associate itself with this great event?
Well, absolutely. There's always room. And again, it's something that, you know, we've put a lot of thought into for the last year on how we can position ourselves, you know, for 2025 moving forward, and see what we can do as regards that. And, you know, over time we'll be, when those plans come to fruition, we'll be announcing those. But for sure, yes. I mean, if you look at, you know, you mentioned Boston, that they are coming up next Monday and so on and so forth, and how they structure their sponsorship and how they lay that out. And ours is different. So I'm not saying theirs is better or ours is better or whatever, but it's different. So maybe, and that's what we've been looking at over the last number of months, looking at how others do their business. And we're going to take some of those learnings on board over the next couple of years and try and take as many people inside the tent as we can. Okay. And finally, the Olympics have just announced today that they're giving prize money for the first time for the Olympic Games. So if you win a gold medal, you'll get, I think it's the equivalent of about 40,000 euros of a prize. There has always been that sort of elite level within the Dublin Marathon as well. Does that put additional pressure on you to actually sort of make something of this that it was never intended to be, that it was always an opportunity for amateur runners who work in day jobs or work in the home or do what they do, but this is a moment for them to actually enjoy it? Is there additional pressure whereas more prize money comes in, more elite runners will look to be running for it?
Well, again, we had elite status last year for the first time, and we've been granted elite status for 2024. And again, it builds the profile of Dublin. And like the pacemakers that we brought in for Dublin last year, some of those are running London later in the year, which is a great acknowledgement for our event, just, you know, for something to see that. So the prize fund is there, and the elite runners that came in last year, we wanted to break the two course records, got the men's and missed the ladies by about 10 seconds. And that's what it does to the event. It brings in higher caliber elite athletes into the event, and that's what we want to see. That it'll, you know, put Dublin up on the in the headlights with the other events. And again, it's a good course. You've seen, like, there are a number of people that have run elites that have run Dublin and gone on to run London, and they haven't improved their time in London. So like, Dublin is a good course. So
But the heartbeat remains that it is a race for the common man, the common woman, to actually put in place that training that they've been doing over the summer.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, you're talking about the elites where we might have 20, you know, and in a field of 22,500. So, yeah, but we need that to call it an international event. It's like, it's not an international event if you don't have, you know, obviously internationals and elites and so on and so forth. And we want Dublin to be recognised as an elite event abroad. And that's, you have the elites in there. And they're the ones that, you know, can get you the headlines, the record breaker signs that we had from last year were all over the place. And Dublin got great coverage because of that. So that's, they're the type of shots that will get you the publicity, as well as the runner crossing the line in 4 hours, 5 hours, or whatever, getting the medal around their neck. So the event encompasses everybody, so we take them all in.
Absolutely. Well, the very best of luck. As I said, 6 months, the clock is ticking now, October the 27th, race day. Jim Ockney, the race director for the Irish Life Dublin Marathon, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you. Take care.
Thanks to Jim for taking the time to tell us all about the Irish Life Dublin Marathon. It will take place on Sunday, October the 27th, in and around the streets of Dublin City. And it promises to be another great occasion for the runners, the spectators, and the city itself. Find out more about what we do day in, day out at sportforbusiness.com. We have twice daily news bulletins and twice weekly podcasts, as well as great events to bring the Sport for Business community together in person to talk about all things where sport and business and society intersect. Coming up in the next 3 episodes of the podcast, we will be chatting with Laura Webber, designer of the Irish Olympic outfits for Paris 2024, with Brian Malloy, the newly elected president of the Camogie Association, and with Pat Fenlon of Electric Ireland on sponsorship and the continued importance of darkness into light. Thank you, as ever, for taking the time to listen in.